Welcome everybody to our monthly sponsorship forum. This April, what's the date today? 13th, 14th? I never can remember, but about that. I'm Suzanne, Cheryl, and Susan are here. We are going to have this forum for 45 minutes. Anyone may ask a question. If you are a sponsor, step up as a food sponsor, you may share or expound on one of our topics. If you do share, we'll be timed at 3 minutes. Susan will be our timer. If you have a question, please be quick and to the point. If we stray off the topic too much, I will lovingly, gently kind of nudge us back into topic. And also, I'd like to put out there, Cheryl, Susan, and I have been doing this wonderful service for 3 years. And rotation of service is healthy and good and necessary. So we are really asking if someone would like to step in and so we could rotate out. That would be wonderful. After we stop the recording, we'll leave our phone numbers if anybody wants to inquire. And having said that, we have a topic, and we're going to start reading from the sponsor guidelines. Who's going to start reading for Susan or Cheryl?
I'm ready to, Cheryl, if you'd like me to.
Please, go ahead.
This is from Sponsorship Guideline Book, page 2, Introduction. Share your hope, strength, and experience. Do not give advice. If sponsees are grappling with a problem that is not one of compulsive eating, we do not tell them how to solve these problems. You can only give away what you have received. Share your commitment. Do not rewrite the program of eating. We cannot allow anything that is not part of the program to interfere. We are not tin gods who can give and take at whim. It is not, if it is not in the program, leave it out. Share your program. Time on the telephone should be program-oriented. Do not allow your social needs to negate the need to carry the message. It is important for the newcomer to realize that we are where we are because of the program. Share your struggle. Do not allow yourself to be put on a pedestal. Let your newcomer know that you are only one bite away. Point out to your newcomer that you are only an instrument of a higher power. Share your attitude. Discuss the joys of service and giving to CEA Howe. Talk about just for today as a means of survival. Share your honesty. Admit you are having a problem. If you should slip by eating too much or something that is not on program, admit it. It then behooves the conscientious sponsor to help the newcomer find another sponsor if the sponsee wishes to change. Share your discipline. Your discipline is all the newcomer may experience as discipline. Oh, your discipline. You are a vital link in carrying the CEA Howe message. What you give to newcomers may be their total CEA Howe exposure to sponsorship. And that is in the that's the page on the introduction, page 2 of the Sponsor Guidelines book.
So, Cheryl or Susan, would you like to share what we just what you just read?
I will. The three of us meet a few days before the next sponsorship forum, and we talked about the importance of carrying the message of recovery through sponsoring. And you know, one other framing of that question is, you know, are we just taking the gifts of service from others and the program as a whole, or are we stepping up to give back and do service ourselves? And specifically, we're going to look at sponsoring. And for me, I recognized how important it is to step up. You know, starting with reading the readings at the meeting as a way of claiming my seat and saying I belong, and allowing me to, for other people to be aware of the fact that I have decided to commit to the program. And as I got my days and as I got some experience, stepping up to be a sponsor is a vital, vital service. We have a lot of people who are committed to their program and are nervous about stepping up to be a sponsor. And maybe the descriptor is not quite right. Nervous may not be what it is that's going on, but they're not sponsoring. And so I just recently had an experience with someone who kept on saying, I'm thinking about it. And, and I did get to a point where I just named that if she continues to just be thinking about it and not stepping up, then I would be asking her to find another sponsor who can support that endless thinking. Because it has been so important for me to step up as a sponsor, no matter how unsure I was about my ability. What I found was that I had learned so much, and I didn't realize it until, as a sponsor, I was responding to what my sponsee was saying with thoughts and concepts that I hadn't realized I had absorbed from being part of the program. And so it solidified the recovery that I had been experiencing. And we never are sponsoring alone. For one thing, we have our higher power. And, and part of that higher power is the program as it is written. And we have references throughout. And we have our sponsor. And we have other trusted fellows who have more time and more experience in the program that we can turn to. And we never have to give an answer that we don't know. It is always valid to say, I'm not sure. Let me check. Let's put a bookmark in that, and I'll come back to you on that. And it's okay to not get that answer from your sponsor or another trusted fellow right away. You know, it may take some time to get to it, and that's okay. You know, not on my timeline, on my higher power's timeline is something that I've learned. I will stop there. I know there's so much more I want to say about the gifts and the necessity, one more piece, of sponsoring. You know, this program there's no governing body, and there's no body of sponsors that, we get to turn to. It is all of us. And for the program to remain healthy and vibrant, it is absolutely imperative that each of us step up and do the service when we have the 30 days or more of abstinence, and then also to hold create healthy boundaries around giving service. That the tendency can be for many of us to give too much of ourselves to the point that we lose the stability of recovery that is what we're striving for and what we have received by being abstinent and working the program. So it's all an opportunity to learn and to grow and to come into our true whole selves guided by a higher power. Thank you. I'll stop there.
Thank you, Susan. Cheryl, would you like to share on what was read on the sponsor guideline?
Yes, Cheryl, compulsive eater and in recovery, and so grateful for that. Carrying the message, that's a very important part of my program, is carrying the message, giving back that which I receive every day, understanding that if I don't continue doing service, if I don't sponsor, where are we going to get to? And this program has to have a continuation, and that's done by sponsoring others and working service. So it's very vital that I make sure that I do that, that I have sponsors and that I'm there for them, that when we decide on a certain time that I'm available, and if not, I let them know before. The relationship between sponsor and sponsee is vital. I need to know that we click, that I make a difference in her life possibly, but she does make a difference in mine. There's so many things I hear and look forward to in that conversation. Setting boundaries, I discuss up front that we have a 15-minute timing, and if you can't make it, please let me know beforehand. It's very uncomfortable to sit and watch the clock when that as the 15 minutes go past and go by and there's no phone call. So there's a lot of things that we discussed before to make it really work well. And part of that sharing program, sharing a recovery and carrying the message is sharing your experience, strength, and hope. I cannot tell anyone what to do. I cannot tell them to stay in program. I can't tell them to continue. I cannot say any of these things. I know how hard it is for people when they first come in and don't quite understand it and don't like to weigh and measure and don't like to make the phone calls and use all the other tools. And so I've been there, done that. So I try my best to be compassionate and understand that they need some time. They need some time, and they might get there, and they'll get there, or they might not. But I need to be careful about that. Regarding slipping, I've been there and done that too. I've slipped a lot. I've had relapse. I've been in program for a long time. I've had many years of abstinence. But I'm not perfect, and my higher power doesn't want me to be. As it says in the big book, he only wants me to try to be. And so that's what I try. And I try to carry that message over to compulsive eaters too. When they slip and they're afraid to call and they're embarrassed and they're ashamed, there's nothing to be ashamed. I'm a compulsive eater. I've got this problem. We'll have it for the rest of my life. And I do have a daily solution based on my spiritual reprieve. I have a reprieve based on my spiritual condition, and I make sure that I keep that condition really clear and stay close to my higher power. And so how important is it to sponsor? I just went over that. And when sponsees get stepped up, the first thing I always hear is, I can't do that. I don't have enough material. I don't have enough knowledge. I don't have experience. I don't know what to say. It's always the same. So if someone doesn't say that, I'm wondering what's wrong. And so I smile. And I say, okay, you're doing the right thing. You're saying the right words. But now, let's get see what we can do. Let's get to work. And exactly as was mentioned, I don't need to have the answers. Neither does the new sponsee. If there's a question that her sponsee asks, I'll get back to my sponsor. I go ahead and ask my sponsor. If need be, we go to World Service and send an email there. So there are answers that a new sponsee does not need to have on hand. And when the new sponsee starts sponsoring, we'll discuss it. You know, so we'll discuss daily, how you doing? What did you, you know, how are you doing? How's the sponsorship going? And just keep strengthening that my sponsee to be able to share that with the other one. And what I do when I'm speaking to my sponsee is I don't tell her what to do. I don't even tell her how to sponsor. I just ask her to. What I do with my sponsee, I just repeat what my sponsor tells me. I learn from her, and I bring that forward. I need to share my commitment. I need to share that this is so important to me. This recovery is so important to me. And when I did have that relapse, I need to remember is that it wasn't the food that came first. I didn't just decide one day, okay, I'm going to pick up. I was perfect with tools and all yesterday, but today I'm going to eat. It was the tools that started happening. Being lax about the tools, letting go of the tools one by one and deciding that I can do this without that. I didn't need to make those calls. It's okay if I don't write today, tomorrow, yesterday. It's not okay. It's not okay. My recovery will not stay. I will not stay in recovery if I don't do those tools every single day. And then, so therefore, I share my struggle. And then I share my attitude of gratitude every single day. I have those gratitudes that I say every night before I go to sleep, thanking my higher power for bringing me to these rooms, for keeping me here, and teaching me and showing me the way, and then accepting that, you know, asking for help, letting go and letting God. I never knew that before program. That was one of the miracles that happened. When I heard people say there are miracles here, don't go away. What miracles? But there definitely are miracles. I've changed. I've worked on character defects. I'm a different person. I'm much more tolerant. I'm not perfect, so go back to those habits once in a while, but I can pull myself right back. And so that's the honesty. That's sharing the honesty. And regarding honesty with sponsees, I know that usually when a sponsee doesn't feel comfortable here and wants to still try an easier, softer way, chances are they won't call me. They won't let me know. They will just disappear. And I used to take that very personally, and I would cry to my sponsor, what happened here? What did I do wrong? Well, she said, I got news for you. You didn't do anything wrong. That person just wasn't ready. That person wasn't ready to work the program. So I need to remember that too. And sharing my discipline, you know, I needed to learn that pretty quickly too. I mean, I was pretty careful with the timing, but I wasn't sure that I needed to write every single day. And then, of course, the phone calls. I can't do those. Maybe somebody's having dinner. Maybe they're on their way out. Maybe they just don't want to talk to me. Maybe they're not so comfortable. I'm not comfortable making that phone call. I had all these reasons not to pick up that. We used to call it the 1,000-pound receiver. We don't do that anymore. So I just was fearful of making that phone call. Today I know that, hey, the person I'm calling also makes those phone calls, so it's not so bad. And then by this time, I've made friends here. I have relationships with people in the program as just outreach members of this program. So it becomes easier. Weighing and measuring is something I do. Just happens that the way, that's the way my life is today. It's not that it just happens. I do it. And I'll cut up some stuff for 3 days in advance if I can't do it every single day. Whatever it is, whatever it takes, I need to do it. If I go out and I don't want to eat out, I'll have my dinner before. If I go to an event, I'll have my dinner before. Whatever that does, I need to be disciplined in this program and carry over that message to the new sponsee. Sharing the structure of the program again, understanding that no one is in charge. I remember someone called me a few weeks ago, and she was saying she was having trouble with someone, with a sponsor. She was too strong, and she was too strict. It was just not working for her, and she was getting really embarrassed and angry and didn't know how to deal with it. Resentance coming up, and that's not what this program is about. This is a kind program. It's a really compassionate program. So her question was, she'd like to go to a higher up to talk about this sponsor. And I said, you know something? We don't have a higher up. We have an upside-down triangle, and we are the higher up. You know, the people at the World Service, they're beholden to the groups. We are the people that make decisions at our business meetings. We decide what we want to do, how we want to have our format, or what changes we want made. There is no higher up. So if someone's not comfortable with their sponsor, something's going on, just change. Just move on. Get yourself another sponsor. Sometimes that's not so easy and uncomfortable, but it's the best thing to do. I need to know that when I pick up that phone, I'm going to be comfortable, and I'm going to be happy and grateful for that person that's sponsoring me. And then how do you share? Well, again, sharing at meetings, you know, extending or giving over that experience, strength, and hope, sharing how grateful I am, sharing my past, my present, and what I'm looking forward to in this program. Thanks for letting me share. Oh, one more thing, maintaining anonymity. That is very important. When I speak to anyone, and even if I want to discuss something, I will never give a name to that. You know, there will never be a name attached to that, what it is. And I don't gossip. What's mentioned in a meeting stays in the meeting for me. Nothing goes anywhere. And especially with sponsee calls, they know that they can trust what they tell me will stay here. It will not go anywhere. I remember I was listening to some inventory, and some of them were like, wow. And I was thinking, how do I get this out of my head when I hang up the phone? You know, never mind not repeating to anybody. I don't want to retain that information. And so I've worked up this thing where I, you know, and I tell myself, I've got enough of my own stuff going on. I don't need to have that in my head. So much so do I want to get rid of it that there's no way that I will repeat anything to anyone. And that's very important, maintaining anonymity. I'll stop right there. I'm Cheryl, compulsive eater. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. This is Suzanne. So as I guess you guys have figured out, our topic is carrying the message. And I'll just be brief, try to be brief here. A couple of things. Am I a giver or am I a taker? And I have had sponsees that it's been difficult for them to sponsor. I have one that has a wacky work schedule when she's actively working. So during that time, she does not take on a new sponsee because it's just too chaotic. However, she will take on a new sponsee when she's not working. And then if it works out, you know, she does tell them, this is my, you know, when I'm working, we are going to have to do a different schedule. And it usually works out. So you know, some people say, well, I'm working, or I have a family, or I'm too busy. Well, my sponsor reminded me, we weren't too busy to go binge. We weren't too busy to starve. We weren't too busy to be in our addiction. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's true. So there's a way to work it. There's a way to work it out. We are to give and take. I do take because I take from the fellowship. I get strength from them, from you guys. But I also need to give back. That's why I sponsor. And, you know, someone was here for me when I got here. And thank goodness my sponsor didn't say I'm too busy or, you know, she didn't do that. She stood up and said, I'll help you. So there's that. The other thing is I'm always very careful. I never tell someone you don't belong here or you're not one of us. That is not for me to say. And a lot of us, some of us at least, have abandonment issues. And that's not our job to say that. I know that there have been a couple of circumstances with some of my sponsees, with their sponsees, where they had a long, almost like an inventory to figure out if they needed this program or something else. But that was after a while, and my sponsee did not say, you don't belong here, you're not one of us. My sponsor always told me, do not do that. So that's what I don't do. I do share my experience, strength, and hope. I talk from the big book. And if I do think one of my sponsees might need outside help, I am very careful how to frame it. I say most of the time because I'm not perfect. I would say, when you're ready, you might want to think about dot, dot, dot. That's how I frame it. And I remember one sponsee I framed that about something. The next day she called me and she says, thank you for being so loving and kind about that. I went and did X, Y, and Z immediately. And had you said, you need to go or you need to do, I would have just been out of here. I'm like, okay. So let's be kind to ourselves and let's be kind to our sponsees. Let's be careful not to dictate and mandate. We're guides. We are guiding someone through their abstinence. So that's all I need to share for right now. Is there any sponsors that would like to share on carrying the message or anyone who'd like to ask a question?
Hi, it's T. I have a question that came up from what's been shared so far. May I ask my question now?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Susan had said that, you know, if you have a sponsee who's thinking about being a sponsor and then keeps thinking about being a sponsor, that she might say, you know, you might need to get a sponsor that could embrace your thinking about it because, you know, I don't want to paraphrase too much more, but that's my question. You know, it feels like there's a fine line, and it often gets said, you might need to find another sponsor who would let you do that. I don't. You might do another sponsor because I don't do that myself. I guess that I'm looking for guidelines that would tell me that's when you'd have to let them go, or why would we even think that another sponsor would let them get away with it, for lack of a better word. And so that confuses me, and I guess that's because I recently had a sponsee that I really felt like I needed to walk on eggs, and she'd been through many sponsors, and I didn't want to use that line, and yet finally, after 2 months, I felt and discussed it with my sponsor and just said, this is affecting me. She's not willing to do anything. And I know that that was a, you know, tough case, but it makes me a little gun-shy that I'm going to be affected, in quotes, of somebody not willing to do something so simple to make outreach, simple to me, make outreach calls or do the writing or dig a little deeper. I hope I'm making sense. This was very emotional for me, and I don't think I'm 100% over it, letting myself off the hook to say to her, you know, I just can't do this. So if I made sense, would somebody answer me? If I didn't make sense, ignore me and I'll figure it out. Thanks.
Thank you, T. Susan, would you like to answer?
This is Shelley. I'd like to comment on that.
Okay, Shelley, comment, and then we'll...
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes, my name's Shelley, compulsive eater. I have my sponsees work the 7 tools, and they tell me what they did for each tool yesterday, just like I do with my sponsor, Eat for Every Day. And the 7 tool says, I'm willing to be sponsored. I'm willing to be sponsored, and I'm willing to sponsor. If someone doesn't want to sponsor, I tell them, you know, if you want what I have, you got to do what I do. If you don't want to do what I do, I'm not the sponsor for you. I can't do that. I don't know how to sponsor that way. It's not mean. It's just factual. And you know, don't forget, we're here because we're not all crazy on the same day, and our sickness will come out. And especially try to recreate it with our sponsors. You know, whatever unresolved stuff we've got, anger, resentment, fear, I see people trying to act it out on with their sponsors. And, you know, I tell people, I love you, but I sponsor you for me, not for you. You know, when you do these things, it's jeopardizing my absence, so I really can't sponsor you anymore. I love you, but, you know, I just can't manage that. I have to work the 7 tool, and so does everyone. And that's the guideline, you know. I mean, it's in black and white. I was always reminded in this program to read the black part of the page, not the white part of the page. You know, and anytime I have a problem in these kinds of relationships with sponsors and sponsees, I mean, I have to look at what kind of unresolved stuff I've got in my life in relationships, and make sure I don't play it out with my sponsor, you know, but write it out and talk to them about it. You know, my sponsor is not my mother, my father, my aunt or uncle, or anyone else that hurt me. You know, my sponsor is my sponsor. I can't put, you know, ascribe to her things that were qualities of other people, even though somehow I'll make her remind me of that. You know, I'll see her quality and say, oh, yeah, that's like them.
One
minute.
And
it's not. Thank you. So I keep it simple. I keep it loving and kind. And I tell them up front when I sponsor them, I sponsor you for me. I love you, but I sponsor you for me, not for you. I have to work the 7th tool, and if I don't, I won't be abstinent. So, you know, and it keeps everything going. And so if you want to have an abstinence, you ask me to sponsor you because you want to have an abstinence like I do, well, then you got to do what I do. That's the bottom line. So at least in my estimation, in my experience, and I've sponsored at least 300 or 400 people in this program through the 20 years I've been abstinent here, by God's grace in the group. Thanks for letting me share. I'm Shelley, compulsive eater. Do we leave our phone number?
No, not during the recording.
Oh, that's being recorded.
Thank you, Shelley.
Okay, thank you.
Would anyone else like to comment on T's question?
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah. Hi, it's Chevy. I have a question to ask.
I think
you know,
so.
It's addressed in some ways. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So I was wondering about, you know, when you're sponsoring someone who's new to program, and, you know, what the balance of giving them time to adapt and get used to the discipline structured approach, meaning like, I know in the beginning I've had sponsors that had a hard time, you know, doing all the tools, and I was soft with them, and then eventually I saw it happening, and they became more disciplined. You know, on the other hand, there's a fear of, like, what do you mean? They're not doing all the tools, and I think that that's the way programs should be worked, and that's the way I work it for my sponsor. So, for example, like, I know that, you know, I have a sponsee who's, you know, very afraid of doing service, and I understand, based on her personality, that comes very difficult. Is there any advice of how I can make it, you know, that it is part of the requirements of program, yet give her time? How much time? How many reminders? Are there any small ways to break it up? I don't know. That's basically the question.
Chevy and T's question are related, so we can try to address both. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Thank you so much. A couple things. My experience with people that don't want to work the tools and not ready to work the program and its complete 7 tools is that I don't know when their time is going to happen. I don't know when they're going to get it. I don't know when they'll finally see it. I remember years ago I had someone that was kicking and clawing, and she just, why this and why that, and I don't want to do this. And somehow it was one of my first sponsees, and I didn't want to let go. I stuck with her. She now has 12 years of back-to-back CHOW abstinence. So how can I tell? On the other hand, if I have a sponsee that's threatening my recovery, where when I hang up the phone I'm really upset and I carry resentments maybe throughout the day, why would that resentment be? It was because I can't help her enough. I feel that I didn't do well, and it's just become too much for me. I need to let go. I need to let go compassionately, kindly, and I had a case where someone was really emotionally, I was not able to deal with another day listening to her, and so I got her someone else. I got her a sponsor. I set it up for her, so when I finally told her that we must change, it's not working, and she, of course there were tears, and you know, she was crying. We were in the library at a meeting, but she was so glad with that new sponsor. They're doing so well. So, you know, my program is very important to me. Exactly what was said. If you want what I have, you need to do what I do. I still have problems with that. I still talk to my sponsor. I don't want to let go of certain people that I figure have potential and they're not really telling me they don't want to do it. They just don't get to it. I forgot to do the question today, or I didn't get to that, or I didn't get to my 3 meetings. My sponsor says you've got to let them get to their timing. It's the higher power that's going to help them, and I have no right. We are told in 12 steps, this program is open for all those that want it. All those that want it are welcome to come here. So I have no right to decide for them that you're not welcome here. I just need to make sure that they understand that the only way that they can succeed here is not about losing the weight, and of course that's what we come into, but that's not a diet. The only way that I can succeed here in recovery is if I work those tools. And I have to make that pretty clear. I try to make that clear right at the start before we even begin. But again, you know, I'm not perfect, neither is that sponsee. And I keep in touch with I talk to my sponsor every day, but I keep letting her know that this is what's happening with this sponsor without names. And she guides me. She keeps me reined in when I think that I'm really going to get upset. And she guides me. Thanks for letting me share that.
Thank you, Cheryl. Susan, I don't know if you want to comment on those two questions that seem very related.
Yeah, briefly. This is a learning edge for me. The accepting a person, a sponsee, where they are, and recognizing that this is their journey, and I am witnessing their journey, guiding them based on my experience in the program and recovery. And I came from a life of a lot of control, and the higher person was telling me how to be, and I accepted that. And when I started in my true commitment of 12-step food recovery, that was how I was sponsored, somebody that was telling me what I was supposed to do, and if I didn't like it, I could find someone else, and it was very regimented. And that was how I started to sponsor. And it's been a long process of me letting go of that orientation, that way of sponsoring, that way of thinking about the sponsor-sponsee relationship. And, you know, I still have strong remnants of that way of thinking and acting. And I am grateful for the ways that I have let go of my expectations of how my sponsee should be operating, should be behaving, should be doing. And there are places where, you know, I work a strong program. I am now much more gently offering that strong program to the other person, telling her, you know, why I do what I do, the recognition of, if I don't do this, I know where I'm going with my addictive eating, my addictive behaviors, my unhappiness, my out-of-control life, and offering that understanding of this is my program, and then recognizing that while I have become much more tolerant, less judgmental, and accepting of the person where she is, there does get to a point with explaining why I see these things the way I do, why I do these things the way I do, why I'm asking her to do these things as well, that I begin to recognize that I don't anticipate that things will change with her behaviors and commitment in whatever timeline I feel like is, you know, enough is enough. And then I start talking to my sponsor and considering, is this time to let go? And I don't feel like totally solid in this way of operating. I hear the loving compassion of my fellows who, you know, just really manage it in, and I'm judging myself in a more loving, compassionate way than I sometimes do. But I also see myself being getting closer to that person that I am striving to be, with integrity, authenticity, a compassionate, loving heart. And so that's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. I just add, you know, this is a balancing act because we are a structured and disciplined program. However, we're not supposed to be dictators, stormtroopers, governing everybody either. But I will have to say the seven tools are required. We are different. They're not suggested. The seven tools are a requirement. Having said that, thank you, God, that my sponsor had the patience to work with me, because it took a long time for me to finish my steps. But I was still working my program. So I think the answer to both he and Chevy for me is each person's different. You get to know the person. Is the person struggling in one area, but in the other areas they're doing well? If someone is returning or they've been here a long time and they outreach the same three people, this is what I would do. Okay, you got your three people. Good. Let's add one person. One person. One person. And set a timeline. 10 days. You have to outreach someone new. Because these are old habits. Old habits are hard to break. And so instead of saying, get rid of those three because they're the same old tired three, just let's get a new person, one new person. Make it not so, you know, hitting them over the head with a 2x4. And that is an easier goal, little by little, especially if they've been struggling for a long time. And I would point out, well, this is not working. Let's try something different. And let's pray for the willingness to change. So I hope that helped both. I think we might have time.
Miss Shelley, I'd like to say something if I could.
Yes. Shelley, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I have a little story to tell. It wasn't my story, but I got permission from this person to say it. It's very important to make varied outreach calls, three different people every day. And it's not because we're trying to assign people this terrible, you know, work that they have to do, you know, in the seven tools. It's for our benefit, but also more for the person we're calling. This one person had 2 years of abstinence, and she decided her favorite restaurant all of a sudden was having this big sale or, you know, event, and it was going to be really great, and she liked that food, and she just said, screw it, I'm just going to go. And she took a bath and put on a new dress, and she was walking out her door, and someone called her on her landline. So she went in and answered it, and there's a lady cooking her three children their dinner, and she asked this person, could you stay on the line with me till I fix my kids' dinner and then fix my own so I don't eat compulsively? And this lady sat on the phone with her for about 45 minutes till she did all those things, and then that person remained absent, and then my friend, she, after that phone call, she put on her house clothes and had her abstinent dinner and had a nice day. You never know who you're going to run into when you call or when you receive a call. And I recommend that everybody receive calls. You know, whatever you can do to call people back in that same day that they call you, it's very important because you never know what kind of effect your call is going to have on anyone or their call is going to have on you. You know, God works in mysterious ways, and I believe the number 4 tool for phone calls is there for a reason, so we don't isolate, so we get caught on our stuff, so we can't lie anymore, you know? It's like all of a sudden you get a call. I can't tell you how many people I've called that haven't been in program for a while. I didn't realize it. Said, I'm not in program, but
one minute.
I'm coming back. Thank you. I'm so glad you called. You know, you never know who you're going to call, and like I say frequently, you know, just in your computer or in your email, phonebridgeoutreach@gmail.com, and you send your name in there and your phone number if you want to add it, and you can request a listing of all the PhoneBridge participants, and you'll get an email of about 15 or 16 pages of names and numbers and areas all over the United States and the world. So, for instance, I live in California, so let's just say I haven't made my 3 outreach calls by, you know, 11 at night. I can call Hawaii. It's 8 o'clock there, you know, or 9 o'clock, depending on the time change. But, yeah, so I won't be interrupting anybody, or someone lives on the East Coast. You haven't made your calls by 11 o'clock. We're out here on the West Coast, and it's 8 o'clock for us.
Time.
So, thank you. My name is Shelley. Thank you, Compulsive Eater.
Thank you. And we have reached the end of our sponsorship forum. I'd ask anybody, please, if you are available, please stay on after the recording is stopped to leave your number. And also, once again, if anybody would like to participate and be of service here on the sponsorship forum, the three of us need to rotate out. We'll leave our phone numbers. Our next sponsorship forum is May 5th. And I want to thank everybody. And if you're not sponsoring, please think about it. Be a giver, not just a taker. Let's close with the Serenity Prayer.
God,
grant me the serenity, to accept the things I cannot change. Courage
to change
the things I can. And wisdom
to know the difference.
Thy will be done. I'm going to stop the recording. Thank you, everybody.